Daniel, one who stopped the mouth of lions, but it says, and what shall I say more? For time will fail me if I tell of who through faith stopped the mouth of lions, quenched the power of fire. In the first, it was Daniel. In the second, Hananiah, Mishael, Azariah. I'll quote you the gist of the portion in 1 Peter 4. Beloved, think it not strange concerning the fiery trial that cometh upon you to try you, as though some strange thing happened unto you, but inasmuch as ye are partakers of Christ's sufferings, just that much. And then this portion you must consider. Turn to Isaiah 42. Isaiah 43, verse 2. God says, when thou passest through the waters, I will be with thee, and through the rivers, they shall not overflow thee. When thou walkest through the fire, thou shalt not be burned, neither shall the flame kindle upon thee. A magnificent verse that is so appropriate to this portion in Daniel chapter 3. Ever so many other portions I would like to read, but I'll just have to skip through this chapter, but give you the background material. 3:1, Nebuchadnezzar the king made an image of gold whose height was 90 feet and breadth 9 feet. He set it up in the plain of Dura in the province of Babylon. Then Nebuchadnezzar the king sent to gather together all of his officials. You see how varied they are. To come to the dedication of the image which Nebuchadnezzar the king had set up. Then all these officials come, they gather together, and Nebuchadnezzar says unto them when they stand before the image. Verse 4. Then the herald cried aloud, to you it is commanded, O peoples, nations, and languages, that at what time ye hear the sound of the cornet, flute, harp, sackbut, psaltery, dulcimer, and all kinds of music, you fall down and worship the golden image that Nebuchadnezzar the king hath set up. And whoso falleth not down and worshipeth shall the same hour be cast into the midst of a burning, fiery furnace. So all the peoples obey this edict from King Nebuchadnezzar, except the three that I have told you of. Verse 13. The spies, as usual, report them, as last week they reported Daniel, who refused to cease praying to his God. Verse 13. Then Nebuchadnezzar, in his rage and fury, commanded to bring Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego. Then they brought these men before the king. Nebuchadnezzar answered and said unto them, is it a purpose, O Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego, that ye serve not my God, nor worship the golden image which I have set up? Now, if you be ready, that at what time ye hear the music and so forth, to fall down and worship the image which I have made, well. But if ye worship not, ye shall be cast the same hour into the midst of a burning fiery furnace. And who is that God that shall deliver you out of my hands? Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego answered and said to the king, O Nebuchadnezzar, we have no need to answer thee in this matter. If it be so, our God whom we serve is able to deliver us from the burning fiery furnace, and he will deliver us out of thy hand, O king. But if not, be it known unto thee, O king, that we will not serve thy gods, nor worship the golden image which thou hast set up. And then Nebuchadnezzar is furious, he's filled with rage, and he gives sentence that the furnace should be heated 7 times more than it should, and strong men that are trying to cast in Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego are consumed by the flames. And look at verse 23. And these three men, Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego, fell down into the midst of the burning fiery furnace. Then Nebuchadnezzar the king was astonished, and rose up in haste. He spake and said unto his counselors, Did not we cast three men bound into the midst of the fire? They answered and said unto the king, True, O king. He answered and said, Lo, I see four men loose, walking in the midst of the fire, and they have no hurt, and the aspect of the fourth is like a son of the gods. Then Nebuchadnezzar came near to the mouth of the burning fiery furnace. He spake and said, Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego, ye servants of the Most High God, come forth and come hither. Then Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego came forth out of the midst of the fire. And the satraps, the deputies, and the governors, and the king's counselors, being gathered together, saw these men, that the fire had no power upon their bodies, nor was the hair of their head singed, neither were their hosen changed in appearance, nor had the smell of fire passed on them. Nebuchadnezzar spake and said, Blessed be the God of Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego, who hath sent his angel and delivered his servants that trusted in him, and hath changed the king's word, and hath yielded their bodies, that they might not serve nor worship any god except their own God. Therefore I make a decree, and he gives another decree concerning the God of these three Hebrew children. Let us speak to the Lord in prayer. Our Father, we are thankful for all of these accounts that thou dost give us. We are glad, our Father, for some of these things that are so simple and easy to understand. We've entered into these things ourselves in the past, but our God, we confess that this portion that we've read tonight is incomprehensible, and none of us have had a literal experience like unto this. We thank you that you brought it to our attention. We pray that by thy Spirit thou shalt teach us from it, cleanse, purify, empower, prepare hearts, glorify the name of thy Son, the Lord Jesus Christ, in whose name we pray. Amen. If you remember the confession of Nebuchadnezzar when Daniel came and told him what his dream was that had escaped Nebuchadnezzar and the interpretation thereof, it says that Nebuchadnezzar fell down and worshipped, and he also uttered things similar to those that we read in chapter 3. But just listen to this. It says, There is no God like the God of Daniel. He is God of gods and Lord of lords, a revealer of secrets, seeing that thou hast been able to reveal the secrets and so forth. All right. Here, the only thing he has learned about the God of Daniel is this, that he is able to reveal the secrets. If you'll keep that in mind, it will help you somewhat in this respect. Would you not think that if someone who served a God like unto Daniel's God, who had revealed the dream and the interpretation of it, would you not think that this God was able to do all things? But here is what you will discover about those that believe in many gods. They have one God that is able to excel in one area, another God in another area, and another, and another, and another. The only thing that Nebuchadnezzar learned about Daniel's God was in the realm of omniscience. Keep that in mind. Nothing more. He did not embrace him as his God. He simply acknowledged that there was no God like Daniel's God who could reveal secrets. In no wise did he think that Daniel's God was able to do exceeding abundantly above all that he thought or could conceive of when he was going to cast Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego into the burning fiery furnace. And he says, now, if you do not do what I tell you to do, you're going to be cast into the burning fiery furnace, and who is that God that is able to deliver you out of my hands? Because he had no conception that Daniel's God was able to do that thing. Now let me give you an analogy. When the Syrians came to fight against Israel, and they were defeated in the hills, you would think that they would give up, knowing that this God of Israel was able to defeat the armies of the enemies of Israel. But this is how they reasoned. They said, this God of Israel is a God of the hills, but he is not a God of the valleys. We will take them on in the valley. But then the enemies of Israel found out that God could fight in the hills, and God could fight in the valleys. And Nebuchadnezzar, in like manner, has discovered this, that Daniel's God is not only omniscient, but he is also omnipotent. And for that reason, he is beginning to understand about all the attributes in the one God who created heaven and earth, the sea, the dry land, all things that in them is. But it's something that we take for granted. We would think anyone would know this, but they did not know that. And as the Syrians, so now Nebuchadnezzar has no conception that this God of Daniel, and now of Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego, could do all things, that no one could stay his hand, that there was nothing beyond the power of this God, of Daniel and his three companions. All right. You would wonder why Nebuchadnezzar might set up this great image in the valley of Dura. I wonder, and I'm not able to tell you for sure, but in chapter 2, when Daniel interpreted his dream, he saw this great image there. But that image consisted of no less than four metals, and the head was gold, and you remember the silver, the brass, the iron, and the clay. Here was this great image, and Daniel told Nebuchadnezzar, thou art the head of gold. You are the king of kings. He told him great things about himself, and he also mentioned that God had done this for Nebuchadnezzar. And afterwards, Nebuchadnezzar falls at the feet of Daniel and worships him because of this revelation, gives him promotion, and also Daniel's companions. So keep that in mind. But of all things that should have remained with him, this remained with him. I was the head of gold. I was the king of kings and lord of lords. So, instead of having a dream, and some of us talking about people that lie upon their bed thinking about what to do and when it's in their power, so here is this king who has had the prophet Daniel to tell him how great he is. But instead of seeing that he is one of successive kingdoms, he is making this image as if there is a kingdom without any end, and as if no one is to follow in succession after Nebuchadnezzar. And the mistake he makes is this, enforcing upon all peoples under his power the necessity of worshiping this image and serving the gods that Nebuchadnezzar has embraced as his gods. That was his mistake. Two things now I want to consider for a moment. You asked me, some did, last week, well, when the decree went out that no petition was to be made to anyone save the king, Daniel is the one who refused to obey that edict from the king. But where were Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego? I tell you in a word, I don't know. It may have been, since Daniel could have been 80 to 90 years of age, not everyone lived that long. these three men could have been dead by then. Having answered that question with "I do not know," I will now answer this question. Where is Daniel when this edict from the king comes out that you must worship at the foot of this image when you hear the music? Again, I answer, I do not know, and no one else does. But let me ask you this. If when Daniel was forbidden by the edict of the king to pray, if Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego had been with him, do you think that they would have turned their back upon Daniel and let him go on alone? You say no. Had they been there, they would have stood with Daniel. Why, of course. And when Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego refused to worship this image that the king had set up, do you think that had Daniel been present, he would have fallen down and worshiped that image? You say, of course not. Then, for reasons unknown to us, Daniel is not brought into this, and evidently, he was not given this opportunity or commanded to worship this image, whatever it might have been, but I know the conclusion before it even is spoken of. It is this. He would have given the same answer that these three Hebrew children gave. He is not going to fall down and worship this image. For this reason, I want to bring to your attention what these Israelites had learned so long ago. They had learned from the book of Leviticus what meats were clean, what meats were unclean, what were defiled, what were they were permitted to eat. And in the first chapter, they having been taught about ceremonial defilement, they besought the prince of the eunuchs that they might be exempted from eating this food that they said would defile them. And they received that exemption. Now, why do Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego also refuse to worship this image? Because in the commandments that God gave to Moses from Mount Sinai, among these commandments is, thou shalt not make unto thee any graven image. And here is a graven image. And thou shalt not fall down. Thou shalt not worship the image. And here is the commandment that they have been given concerning not ceremonial defilement, but the one true God that they should love with all their being and serve him and love him and at the cost of their lives obey his commandments. And having known that, when this temptation came, they were not as some who would say, I did not know I was forbidden to worship this image that the king had set up. I thought we were supposed to be good citizens and do what those in government, high government places are told us to do. But instead of that, they had known the commandments of God, and just as Ezra and just as Daniel had purposed in his heart, so these men had purposed in their heart that they were not going to disobey the commandments of God. And throughout the history of Israel, we have glowing characters like Joseph in the book of Genesis and these four in the book of Daniel, who are examples of those who, knowing God's commandments, are determined at whatever the cost to carry out those commandments. If God says, refrain from doing this, they will refrain from doing it. If God says they are to do this, such as prayer, they are going to do it. So if someone says, do not pray, Daniel and his companions and those like him are going to pray. And if the enemies of God say, worship this image, and God says, do not worship it, they are not going to bow down and worship that image. Do you understand that God expects us both positively and negatively? If the world tells us to do something that God forbids us to do, we are not going to do it. And if the world tells us not to do something that God has told us to do, we are going to do it. It does not matter if it's going to cost us our lives. All right. Just this for now. To condense it, the very fact that Nebuchadnezzar gives these three Hebrew children another chance, it is evident that he remembered their excellency. Do you recall in chapter 1 that they were 10 times better in wisdom and understanding science and in giving explanations to the king? 10 times better. And then Daniel had answered his dream that no one else could answer. He understood the reputation of these men. Because if not, I have no doubt that any ordinary person, had he refused, he would have simply been cast into a burning fiery furnace. But he gives them this chance. And Nebuchadnezzar says, is it a purpose, O Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego, that you do not worship my image and serve my gods? Is it a purpose? He said, now, if somehow there has been a mistake, if when you hear the signal, and I had to laugh when I hear this orchestra, I'm trying to conceive of it, you have a cornet, and you have a flute, and you have a harp, and you have a psaltery, and a sackbut, and a dulcimer. This is the royal orchestra, and I can imagine what kind of sounds would be coming out of this orchestra. And it says, and all sorts of music, but it makes no difference. When they heard this particular sound, just like now, in the far east and in the near east, they would get up on these needles and they would cry out and call people to prayer. Well, here, it was this sound of music, and whenever this sound came forth, it was the signal that they were to fall down and worship before the image that Nebuchadnezzar had set up. But this time, it is not a vision that God has given him in a figurative way, that he is the head of gold, but this is an image of his own imagining to the exclusion of all other powers and self-exaltation. And he's going to do it again. You'll find when you come to chapter 4 that the very thing that he does in chapter 3, he's going to do again in chapter 4. But this time, well, I can't go into that. You will get to it eventually. But here he is, and he gives these three Hebrew children another chance. And after he has spoken to them, the speech that they make is one of the most marvelous speeches in the Word of God. It goes something like this. Then answered Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego unto the king, O Nebuchadnezzar, it is not necessary for us to answer thee in this matter. We have no need to answer thee in this matter. If it be so, the God whom we serve is able to deliver us from the burning fiery furnace, and he will deliver us out of thy hand, O king. But if not, be it known unto thee, O king, we will not serve thy gods, nor worship the golden image which thou hast set up. And when they said that, they said no more. And the king went into a rage. And this is when he insisted that the furnace be heated 7 times to its customary heat, and they be cast into the furnace. All right. I want you to think, briefly, in the time that we have, about the thoughts that were going through the mind of these three Hebrew children. They knew that to refuse to obey the king meant, to all intents and purposes, immediate death. But they did not know that for certain, because they were aware of two things concerning their God. They were aware of his omnipotence, but at the same time, they were aware of his will. Are they not the descendants of those who had seen God open the Red Sea, bring forth water out of the rock, send the quail to the nation of Israel, perform miracle after miracle? Had they not read, had they not had this as their heritage in the history of the children of Israel? They understood all of those things. They knew what God was able to do. And for that reason they said, O Nebuchadnezzar, we have no need to answer thee in this matter. If it be so, now notice, the God whom we serve is able to deliver us from the burning fiery furnace. Now I want you to answer me this. Do you believe that? Do you believe that God is omnipotent and he can, in a literal sense, deliver men from burning fiery furnaces? Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego did. They said, our God is able to deliver us from the burning fiery furnace. Nebuchadnezzar had challenged them, who is the God that can deliver you out of my hand? They said, our God is able to do it. And it said, and he will do it, if it be so. If it's his will, he will deliver us out of thy hand, O King. So understand that. They knew two things. They knew that while they were facing death, that they were not facing death because of the impotence of God, but that the God that they served was omnipotent, and he was able to deliver them whatever the circumstances might be. But at the same time, they did not know if it would be God's will to deliver them. And they said, therefore, if God does not deliver us, you understand that we are not going to serve your gods, and we are not going to fall down and worship that golden image which you have set up. Now, if I could get this conviction in my heart, I could get through life. I see the difficulties that face me. I see this today. You hear of someone with terminal cancer. What do you say? What? The doctors have given no hope? All right, let's pray that the death will be quick and easy. We don't believe that the God that we serve is able to deliver us out of the burning fiery furnace. God can do it. Even though God has not performed miracles the way he has with Paul and with Peter and the New Testament apostles, he is still able to do it today. And I refuse to acknowledge those who say the age of miracles has passed. We expect God to do nothing miraculous. Then why pray? Why ask God to do anything if the age of the miraculous is done? He may still do it, but in a subtle way that the world looks upon and says it was an accident. But let's have this conviction that the God whom we serve is able to deliver from a burning fiery furnace. But at the same time, understand that this God who is omnipotent also has a will and a plan for our lives, as he did for Paul. And we may cry to him to take away the thorn in the flesh. And it may be that God's will is to leave that thorn in the flesh. And his answer to us is, my grace is sufficient for you. And so his omnipotence could take away a thorn in the flesh. It could deliver from a burning fiery furnace. Or, if there is this furnace, he can supply grace that is sufficient for us. All right, just this. I told you concerning Daniel and the lion's den. In Daniel chapter 6, it was a literal lion's den, and Daniel was miraculously delivered from the lions. God sent his angel and took care of those lions. But I showed you from 2 Timothy 4, I showed you from Psalm 22, all these other places, that God delivers also in a spiritual way from the mouth of the lion. For that reason, I read to you in 1 Peter 4, I brought it to your attention, and in Isaiah 43 verse 2, that God speaks about going through deep waters and walking through fire. And then this is what Peter says, beloved, think it not strange concerning the fiery trial that is to try you, as though some strange thing happened unto you. Notice, a fiery trial. Well, it may not be that some madman is going to take us and cast us into the burning fiery furnace. And do you realize that he had done something like this earlier? There were two that he had roasted in the fire. Jeremiah tells us that. And now he thinks nothing of throwing these others in the fire to have them burnt to ashes. But find out that God is able to deliver them. And here is my reasoning. If God can deliver men from a burning fiery furnace that is literal, if he can miraculously intervene and deliver them, then there is no crisis that can come upon me in my life like unto this, that is called a fiery trial, that God is not sufficient to deal with. And if that is so, then let me go into the presence of God with confidence and say, my God whom I serve is able to deliver me from this fiery trial that is trying me. And he will deliver us if it's his will. But if not, if I go to the grave not understanding why God has let me suffer these things, I want the world to know that I'm not going to worship their gods. I'm going to be faithful to you. And for that reason, this attitude of heart of Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego is commendable. And now, lesson two has been brought to the attention of Nebuchadnezzar, that this God of Daniel, who is able to reveal secrets, he knows the thoughts and intents of the heart, an omniscient God, is also an omnipotent God. And he will find other things in